Clerk will call the docket. You may proceed.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, my name is Thomas McCarthy and I represent U-Haul Real Estate Company. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. In September of 2013, U-Haul hired a contractor to repave a 1,900 square foot portion of its parking lot. In doing the job, the contractor erroneously placed broken asphalt on the adjoining property of Nova Parks. U-Haul immediately took responsibility and remediated the contractor's error to the city's satisfaction and at considerable expense. The question is whether the city may require U-Haul to do more, indeed much more, specifically whether U-Haul must undertake the six-month, $250,000 process of submitting a site plan for its entire acre-plus property. The answer is no. Briefing has reduced this case to primarily a dispute over whose definitions apply for the terms development and disturbance as used in Section 1134A5 of the City Code. In U-Haul's view, Division 16 of the Code supplies the proper definitions. But even if not, the similar definitions in Chapter 35 are the only plausible alternative. Either way, U-Haul's minor repaving project does not qualify as either a development or a disturbance, and therefore Section 1134A5 does not require U-Haul to submit a site plan. The decision below must be reversed. First, text and structure make clear that the definitions in Division 16 apply here. There's an express reference clause. 1134A5, by its text, takes the Division 16 definitions. It says, as defined in Article 4, Division 16 of this chapter. Not only that, but Division 16 actually defines all of the terms in 1134A5. Disturbance, development, Chesapeake Bay protection or preservation area, resource protection area, resource management area, all of those terms in 1134A5 are specially defined in Division 16. And they're defined within a particular context that's relevant here. They're defined within the specific context of Chesapeake Bay preservation areas. That's the context that 1134A5 itself references. And so we have the canon of specific controlling over the general, which militates in favor of applying the Division 16 definition.
Now, Division 16 has been repealed, but it was in effect at the time this activity occurred, correct?
That is correct, Your Honor.
And even if it were not, you have the Gordon case that would suggest that Division 16 is nonetheless alive and well.
That's absolutely correct, Your Honor. It is alive and well with respect to the definitions that go into 1134A5. And especially when compared against the text and structure here, the city's approach really is nonsensical. What the city would have the court do is take the Division 16 definitions of Chesapeake Bay Preservation Area, Resource Protection Area, Resource Management Area, but then take the Chapter 48 General Zoning definition of development and then supply it's sort of its own definition of disturbance, notwithstanding the fact that disturbance is actually specially defined in Division 16 and also in Chapter 35.
What about development, the definition of development?
Well, yes, indeed. The definition of development in Division 16 has to apply here in 1134A5. And I think the best way to explain that is to look at how it's used in Division 16 as well as Section 1134A5. Division 16 defines the term development as it relates to Chesapeake Bay preservation areas. 1134A5 actually says all development or redevelopment in a Chesapeake Bay preservation area. So it naturally takes that special definition used in that context as set out in Division 16. Again, there's a specific controlling in the general here, that is express reference clause as well.
This is where you run into the absurdity argument, because when you take the definition of development from Division 16 and you plug it into 1134A5, it literally would say that a site plan shall be required for any work that requires the application and approval of a site plan. It becomes circular. So how do you get over that?
Here's how, Your Honor. First of all, it's important to remember that The absurdity rule, that doctrine is very rarely applied.
Would be applied if we say a site plan is required for anything that requires a site plan.
Perhaps if that were all that the statute said, but that's not all that the statute says. Now, the doctrine only applies in very narrow circumstances, where the statute ends up being internally inconsistent, which is not the case here, or whether it's incapable of operation. And it's not that here either, because the statute still contains other substantive criteria that can be reasonably applied to the facts of this case. The definition still requires an alteration.
But you've indicated that the definition of development is what you're depending upon from Division 16, in response to Justice Kelsey's question.
Yes, that's right, Your Honor. And that definition in Division 16 still requires, or still contains substantive criteria that can be applied to this case, notwithstanding what Your Honor has identified as perhaps a partial circularity in the definition. So it still requires an alteration of the natural environment, which doesn't exist here, and it still involves demolition, grading, filling, excavation, and building, none of which apply here. It doesn't use the term paving, which is used in the general definition of development, and that by negative implication means that the definition in Division 16 does not encompass paving.
One thing I wondered about there is paving the same thing as repaving? In other words, just looking at the overarching scheme, it's one thing to take a grassy lot or a wooded area and pave it. That increases runoff and pollutants and so on and so forth. An area that's already paved and you're just resurfacing it, isn't that a different type of situation?
It is a little bit different, and that helps U-Haul here because there's no change. There's replacement of...
Looking at the big picture as opposed to getting into the granular aspect of, you know, each little work.
That's precisely right. It's the replacement of bad pavement with good pavement solely within U-Haul's property. And there's no increase to the amount of paved area or impervious surface. So the concerns here about, you know, Chesapeake Bay preservation areas, resource protection, resource management that relate to water quality and the like are really not here when you're dealing with repaving. This is actually a concept that's been put into the code in Chapter 35, where in Chapter 35, the definition actually excludes routine maintenance, which includes a number of things, among them paving, repaving projects. So I think all of this text structural analysis compels the result that Division 16's definitions apply, and particularly development, because there still is, notwithstanding what may be a partial circularity, there still is substantive criteria that can be applied, and particularly in this case, are the actual criteria that exclude, as a definitional matter, U-Haul's minor repaving project. So, text, structure, compel the definitions in Division 16, but even if they didn't, if for some reason the court found that Division 16 definitions inapplicable, it has to be Chapter 35 that supplies the definitions then, not the city's patchwork mix-and-match approach to the definitions in 1134A5. And here's why. Again, we think the better reading is that Division 16 applies in those definitions, but if it doesn't, Chapter 35 was enacted as part of Ordinance 1915. At the same time that the City Council enacted that Ordinance 1915, it did two things. Chapter 35 came in, and it repealed Division 16. Not only that, but Chapter 35 actually defines all of those same terms that are in Division 16. So there is some historical context here that suggests that maybe what the City Council was trying to do was replace Division 16 with Chapter 35. Now, again, we think the right result is Division 16 because of the precedent in Gordon that the Chief Justice mentioned, that the cross-reference still applies. But if you thought that didn't for some reason, I think the only plausible alternative is the definitions in Chapter 35. And again, for similar reasons, the text is pretty apparent that those definitions exclude U-Haul's minor repaving project.
And that's because the specific controls over the general?
It's for multiple reasons. Because the specific controls the general, it's because the statutory context, the fact that Chapter 35 defines every term that's used in 1134A5, that's a really strong textual cue that those definitions would meaningfully apply there. And not only that, as I mentioned, there is a specific exemption in Chapter 35 for routine maintenance, which excludes several things, among them paving, repaving projects. So whichever definitions apply, Division 16 or Chapter 35, U-Haul's minor repaving project is excluded from the definitions of development and disturbance, and there's no need for a site plan here.
Your argument presumes, and it's logical to me, but maybe I'll I'll hear something other than that from the city, presumes that you don't get a site plan for land you don't control. I mean, you get a site plan for development purposes for your land.
That's precisely right, Your Honor. That's consistent with the definition of site plan and the definition of site area within the code, which concerns only land that's owned or controlled by.
So the park property that is adjacent is what the city has to rely on to get the square feet requirement under 1134 to exceed 2,500 square feet, because U-Haul's property is what, 1,900 and something?
That's right, Your Honor.
So I guess the basic fundamental question is, do you ever get a site plan for property that you don't own or control?
No, you don't, and I don't think we could have, as you know, a practical matter. You know, it would be up to the Nova Parks group to, you know, submit a site plan on their own behalf if they're doing something on their property. But there's a couple things here. One is, a site plan is a precondition to work being done. There's no argument from the city that U-Haul would have had to get a site plan ex ante, because all they were doing is 1,900 feet worth of repaving of their own parking lot, slowly their own property. But there's another practical reason on top of that. The city's actions after this happened really undermine the notion that the Nova Parks property was ever the subject of development or disturbance within the meaning of those definitions in Division 16 or Chapter 35. When the city issued a stop work order on September 11, 2013, after this happened, they refused to let U-Haul come on Nova Parks property to remove the broken pieces of asphalt. U-Haul was not permitted to go and do that until approximately 11 months later. So the broken pieces of asphalt remained on Nova Parks property for almost a year. Had they actually been causing any problems with the land there, I would think that the city would have done something other than let them sit there for 11 or 12 months. And I think that conduct there really seriously undermines the city's position that there could have been any kind of disturbance to their property.
Council, does 48827 have any application here where it indicates that if there is a code section that's more stringent, that would apply when you're looking at the definitions of development?
No, Your Honor, it wouldn't. I think all the textual and structural keys that I pointed to earlier compel the result that Division 16 definitions have to apply, and it's particularly when you look at the express reference clauses I mentioned and the fact that all of the definitions in 1134A5 are specially defined in this particular context within Division 16. All that really strongly militates in favor of the definitions of Division 16. If I could reserve the balance of my time for rebuttal.
All right.
Good morning, and may it please the court. My name is Carol McCoskrey. I'm the city attorney for the City of Falls Church, and I'm here today on behalf of the City Council and the Zoning Administrator. I'd like to make three essential points today. First, this appeal is about the zoning requirements that apply to U-Haul's property. The zoning definitions and requirements apply. That's expressly provided in Section 482 of the ordinance. Second, U-Haul's project was development in the resource protection area, and a site plan is therefore required.
Let's stop there for a moment. I've got two questions about that. We've got a whole lot of ambiguity here, so I'm certainly wondering what the intention is. And as Justice McCullough pointed out, in an RPA, you obviously are attempting to protect the environment.
Correct.
And paving a prior virgin surface would certainly be one that the city would be concerned about. You are creating an impervious surface, and it's one where you are actually going to have runoff in the stream in the stream bed that would include, you know, oil and other substances that come from cars being parked there. What would the intention be with regard to repaving?
Well, Your Honor, under the zoning, U-Haul, what it has here is a non-conforming use, as it tells us at page 1 of their opening brief. They've been using this site for over 40 years for this large parking lot for trucks. They've included the picture at page 3 of their site, which shows trucks are parked on this site, nose to tail and side to side. There's no emergency access. There are no drive aisles for parking. And it's over 1 acre. It's about 50,000 square feet. So essentially what happens is when certain changes are made, a property is required to be reviewed for compliance with today's zoning ordinance if the property is non-conforming, as U-Haul's property is.
The whole site? They have to do a review of the whole site, prepare a plan that includes every detail of the site because they repave 2,000 square feet of a parking lot?
Well, Your Honor, the provisions of the site plan requirements in the zoning ordinance provide for waiver of certain requirements and reasonableness based on the area of the site that's been affected.
Have you waived any of those requirements?
Well, we haven't gotten there yet, because what happened is, as when U-Haul did its work in 2013 and the stop work order was issued, the parties began working on two prongs of the ordinance. First, under the Division 16 requirements, was the remediation of the stormwater issues. In addition, under the site plan requirement and the zoning provisions, which is what we're here about today, they began working on providing a site plan. And they submitted things like the certified engineering drawings, one of which, or a portion of one of which, is that Exhibit 1, which I provided in our brief.
I'm sorry, I threw you off of answering Justice Nim's question. I apologize. Please go back to that. The question is, how does repaving contribute to the point of this?
Well, because, Your Honor, what it's doing is essentially extending a non-conforming use under zoning.
I'm not sure that helps you, because the theme of their case is that the city doesn't like this non-conforming use and it's going to use whatever tool it can to push it off.
Well, it's not using whatever tool it can. What it's doing is enforcing the existing zoning ordinance that applies to all properties in the city. Anyone who had a disturbance of land exceeding 25,000 square feet would be required to go through the site plan process.
Well, they didn't. They had 1,941 square feet
on their property. However, the project, and it's shown on Exhibit 1, which is the certified engineering drawing through which U-Haul obtained.
It's not a site plan. That's an engineering drawing for the remediation after the fact.
That's correct. But it represented what was done on this project.
But you need a site plan in order to do the work, right? You can't do the work without
getting... That's correct, but this...
So at the time they did the work, did they know that the dump trucks are going to be heading next door and dumping stuff on someone else's property?
Possibly not, but when that occurs, then an updated permit would be required. That's always true in zoning.
A site plan? Let me educate me on this. You need a site plan on someone else's site? I just don't
know.
You
need a site plan for the work that you do.
On your site?
And this is not a case... Well, you need a site plan for work that you do, and just because you dump your debris from your work on somebody else's property doesn't mean you should escape the responsibility for that work.
Did NVRPA give them permission to dump?
No, they didn't request permission.
Okay, so and that takes us down a kind of a parallel track. So they dumped on NVRPA land. Clearly that's going to have to get remediated, independent of whatever they're doing with regard to their parking.
That's correct. And it was remediated through the city's, on the stormwater side, through the stormwater, but it did not, they also then fell under the requirement for a zoning site plan.
But here's the challenge. On the record that we have before us, the only path that gets into the site plan requirement is what was done on NVRPA's property. On this record, I don't see where a site plan would be required for what they did on their own parking lot. So they have committed a wrongful act on NVRPA's property. For that, I could certainly understand both a stop work order and an order requiring immediate remediation within the RPA. But there's nothing here on their own land, on this record, that would trigger the site plan requirement.
That's correct. However, I don't believe that there's anything in the ordinance, and this is what the circuit court found. There's nothing in the ordinance that limits it to their property. It's the work they did.
So the argument is they committed a wrongful act on somebody else's property, which gives the city an aha moment. Aha, now we're able to go back to your property and force you to have a site plan?
Because what it did was extend the disturbance of land caused by their property beyond a greater amount.
Nobody suggests that U-Haul did this purposefully or even knew about it, all right?
So that's off the table. But they're contractors.
So suppose the dump trucks went 2 miles down the road into another section of the park. Under your theory, you could embrace that other section of the park 2 miles down the road and require a site plan in this case.
That's correct. It might be separate. However, at that point it might be separate, but in this case, on this record, what you have is U-Haul's representation in the form of their engineered drawings, which they submitted, and an enlarged highlighted copy of a portion of which is Exhibit 1. And that document is U-Haul's representation. This was all part of their project.
What you're saying is you have to have a site plan off-site. That's what you're saying. The city of Falls Church, if my hypothetical is 2 miles down the road, still in the city of Falls Church, 2 miles down the road, these people are going to have a site plan because of things that happened off-site. Does that make any sense?
Not when the things are so separate. But on this record, it's all part of one project that
so
they did.
Five acres away is separate, and next door is not separate, and site plans required for the latter but not the former?
One would have to look at each project. But on this one, there's a representation before the court that, in fact, this was all part of one project.
What about the part of the law that says they have to own it to do a site plan on it?
It doesn't say that anywhere.
Property owned, I mean, opposing counsel just quoted it. I don't know which section it is.
I don't believe that.
I mean, how legally can you do a site plan for property that you don't own or control, lease?
Well,
have a property interest in.
Pardon?
I said, how can you do a site plan for property that you don't even have a property interest in?
Well, you would have to have some interest in it.
Well, they don't have any interest in the adjacent property. What property interest do they have in the adjacent property?
They don't have one. They don't have an ownership interest at all, but I don't believe that's required.
Well, you just said it is.
I don't believe that's in the ordinance. The ordinance states that it's for all development in a resource protection area, one or the other. Yes, all development in the resource protection area and any disturbance of land exceeds 2,500 square feet.
Do you need a site plan when you don't own the site? Is there a yes or no answer, or is it more complicated than that?
You may. It's more complicated because if indeed it's part of one project, you would need a site plan, and it constitutes the 2,500.
So then the answer to the chief hypothetical, if you've got paving and repaving on your property, and the guys with the dump truck, one guy goes to one side of the city and dumps his load, another guy goes to another side of the city, dumps his load, and the lazy guy goes next door and dumps his load. You got to do site plans on four sites now?
Well, if...
Why don't you just throw the dump truck guy in jail and clean the stuff up and be done with it?
Well, I think our contention is that because there was a representation by U-Haul that this is all part of their project, and they couldn't have done their project on the site without dumping it.
It wasn't
over
part
the
of their project to dump the stuff next door. That's the logical part of your argument I don't understand is you need a site plan for authorization, right? That's the whole point of getting a site plan, to tell the city, here's what I'm going to do, give me authority to do it. Well, they could not have said that at the time they did it because they didn't know it was going to happen.
That's correct. And then the project became more than they expected. And it is the owner's responsibility to meet those zoning requirements.
So, Council, I don't know that this is in the record, but it really piques my curiosity. This was done back in 2013.
Correct.
The contractor illegally dumped a bunch of asphalt dregs into an RPA adjacent to a stream.
That's correct.
Nobody is saying that it was done properly. Have those asphalt dregs been removed yet?
Yes. It took a year for U-Haul to submit the plans that were required under the stormwater ordinance.
But
then they did a plan, and those asphalt dregs were removed, and that addressed the stormwater side of the ordinance.
So the only thing that is requiring them to get a site plan has already been 100% remediated.
That's not quite correct, because there is another prong to the ordinance.
What else within the RPA has to be... Well, yes, there is another prong to the ordinance, but this record does not reflect that you can use that, because this record doesn't show 2,500 square feet on their own property. It only shows it within the RPA.
There's two things. There's development of more than 2,500... I'm sorry. A disturbance of land exceeding 2,500 square feet. There's also all development within an RPA, which is the second prong that this worked.
But they no longer have to even touch the RPA because they've already done all of that back in 2013 or 14.
That's correct, but they did that illegally. And they did that in a way... When
they
did that,
illegally?
It triggered... No, when they...
They disturbed it illegally. They admit that. And they have now remediated it. Is there any further remediation that has to be done? I guess that's what it comes down to.
There's zoning improvement that needs to be done.
There's what?
There's zoning improvements that need to be done because part of the project
My question is this. Within the RPA itself,
correct.
Is there any further remediation? Is there any further correction of their illegal activity or their agent's illegal activity that remains to be done?
Yes.
What is it?
It is submitting a... Well, there's a... I apologize. No, not of the illegal activity, but of their legal activity, there is work to be done. There's a site plan that is required.
With on their own property?
Correct. The RPA, they're most of their... Or not most, perhaps half of their property.
You are using a statute the only intention of which is to protect stream beds and the Chesapeake Bay.
That's not correct, I believe. I believe it's also intended to address non-conforming uses when changes are made to the property. And that's why there are a number of different requirements. And that is what has not been addressed in this. This is not about...
Well, we're back to the property. And
correct.
It was paved. Now it's repaved. What has changed?
It's the life of a non-conforming use has been extended. That's why this is a zoning problem, because this is a non-conforming use. It's been there for over 40 years. And when the work on that site meets the criteria in the ordinance, a new zoning review is required in addition to remediating the stormwater. And this is why Division 16 is the definitions are not relevant, because we're not just working on stormwater remediation. We also have a zoning requirement, and it has two prongs. It has development in RPA, development in RPA, and all disturbance of land exceeding 2,500 square feet.
All right. Thank you very much. Rebuttal?
Thank you.
I'd like to make a few quick points. Number one, the city suggests that U-Haul has trying to escape responsibility for something, and at times suggests that there is more work to be done. But there is not, as it relates to the improper placement of the asphalt debris on the Nova Park property. U-Haul submitted a remediation plan. It was approved by the city. U-Haul carried out that plan, went on to the Nova Parks property, and removed the broken asphalt by hand so as not to actually disturb any property. There had been none so far, and they didn't want to there. They graded the buffer area between U-Haul's property and the city parks property according to the specifications that the city approved, planted a ton of vegetation, actually used some of their own property to expand this buffer area, and clean it all up very nicely as the city wanted. It cost U-Haul about $60,000. There's no escaping the responsibility. U-Haul accepted responsibility, remediated. When the work was done, the city approved it all, released all bonds, and was all done. There is nothing
briefly
left
though,
to be done in that area.
Putting aside entirely the dump truck and the property next door and just looking at the paving on the property, their best argument is that that is in the nature of a development activity, right? And that you get that from the general definition in 48.2. And the reason, they say, she just argued, the reason that's important to them is in a non-conforming use, whenever you develop a non-conforming use, they want to take another look-see at everything, the whole site. What's wrong with that?
There's a number of things wrong with that. Aside from the definitional, the textual and structural analysis that I laid out earlier, I think it's useful to look at this in proper context. This is 1,900 square feet of a large piece of property. It's entirely enclosed within the parking lot on U-Haul's property. It's less than 4% of U-Haul's entire property. That's the amount of space that was covered by this repaving project. As Justice McCullough pointed out, there's no change to the impervious area, the paved area. It's just replacing bad pavement with good pavement. That's it. The city has some asserted concerns with non-conforming uses that has nothing to do with what would happen here. And that shouldn't be the subject of anything here. That's not a reason to require a site plan at this time. It's certainly not required under the rules. And I see my time is up.
Let me, I do have another question now. Okay. Your primary argument on brief was that rather than looking at just 48-134A5 and 48-2, that we needed to look actually to the Chesapeake Bay Preservation Area Overlay District definitions, and that if we did so, you believed you would prevail. Based upon the rather vigorous colloquy with the city's attorney, you may have won that battle, but it may have an effect on whether you win the war or not. The RPA no longer appears to be an issue in this case. That was taken care of back in 2013 and 2014. The remediation has been completed. The Chesapeake Bay area has been protected. So in terms of how I would tend to analyze this, I'm no longer going to be looking at the Chesapeake Bay Act definitions. Now I'm just looking at a non-conforming use within your own property, which brings us back into 48-134A5 and 48-2 as the only analytical framework to use. There are then two paths to success for your argument, I would guess. One is that repaving is not paving. The other is that the record reflects that there is less than 2,500 square feet. And can you point to where in the joint appendix or in the record where there is a finding of fact that it is indeed less than 2,500 square feet? You just mentioned 1,900 square feet.
Yes.
Is that in the record somewhere?
Yes, it is.
Can you point to that?
I can't recall the page right now, but there is, for example, the remediation drawings the city relies on talks about the land where the debris was placed on Nova Park's property. It actually shows that the portion that the job of the repaving work, that is, on U-Haul's property was 1,941 square feet. It's in there. It's in a few other places in the record. I believe it's actually in the BZA's transcript.
Chief, may I ask a question following up on that? If repaving is paving, following Justice Mims' two tracks of your ability to win, if repaving is paving and we're looking at 48-2, how do you win?
If
repaving is paving.
If we're looking at 48-2 for
48
the definition of development.
I
just want to make sure.
Yes, with the definition
so
of development.
If the court finds that 48-2 is the applicable definition, how do we win? Is that the question?
Yes, if repaving is paving.
Okay, the answer is if repaving is paving, which we obviously don't agree with, but if repaving is paving and the court finds that 48-2 actually applies, then no, we don't. But 48.2 doesn't apply, and if I can answer that for a moment.
I heard all of your, I mean, I'm not trying
to. This relates to Justice Mim's point about it being a non-conforming use. U-Haul's property, it is a valid non-conforming use. It's an appropriate status within the zoning requirements. That has nothing to do with what happened in this case, and that doesn't put us to 48.2. What the city's hook here to try to get us to have to do a site plan is the terms development and disturbance is used in 1134A5. That's it. And those have to take the definitions in Division 16. You can't go to 48.2.
So has he answered your question?
He has, thank you.
All right. Your time has expired. Call the next case.